Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 2. Lord willing, next week we'll return to our Baptist distinctives. So you can have your, I see Barbara had her clipboard. She was ready for that. And by the way, when I was up at Central Seminary, the man who wrote the book that I'm using as a basis, Dr. Kevin Bowder, is part of that seminary. And so we were able to have some good conversation about that. So it's kind of interesting how things blend in. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to kind of continue the morning message by kind of challenging us on a very I don't really like to use the word, but a very practical level about things that we might consider doing in 2016 that would be the usage of our gifts in a local New Testament church. So here in Ephesians 2, I want to begin reading. We're going to jump around here in verse 8. And let's think about these verses as we read them in our Bibles. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now think about this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should, what? That we should walk in them. That deals with our behavior. Now go down toward the end of that chapter and let's recall the morning message beginning in verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And the way I read that is that there is this universal body of Christ that has not yet met. Okay, of all the redeemed from the ministry of Christ, all the way through, we've not yet met. This is the building that is growing in the holy temple of the Lord. But there are also local expressions of that. Verse 22, in whom ye also. Okay, and I take that to be referring to the church at Ephesus. You also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's exciting, isn't it? Now just think about this. We're going to read some more here in Ephesians, but just think about this. You and I, by the rebirth, have had a creative work of God go on in your soul. You were dead in trespasses and sins. God shone in your heart. He rebirthed you. Light was given, was spoken into your soul. A creative act of God occurred on that day when you turned to the Lord in repentance and faith, and it occurred in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, through the Word of God. That's amazing to think that the God of creation did an act of recreation in us. Okay? And He is continually to do something that we, you and I, are still learning about. That there is this temple, this universal temple that is going on, and we are being built up like living stones, and we have local New Testament expressions of that in local churches that he calls candlesticks. Okay? Now, if we go into chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 20, and I'm going to read down through a good portion of chapter 4. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you what? Walk that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he gave apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, and that word means what? Building up, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For this purpose, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But in contrast to that, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom, the head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase or growth of the body unto, and here it is again, the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth do not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Okay, so he's talking here about walking, isn't he? Okay, and that there are certain things that are to be going on within the household of God. And there are certain relationships that we have with people outside. Now this morning we looked at 1 Corinthians 3, and we saw that ministers, Paul and Apollos, are to use their unique gifts for what purpose? To build up the church. Okay? And the church is God's vineyard. The church is God's building. Okay, so what we're doing, we're farming. Okay, we're working. We're sowing seed. We're looking for transformation. We're looking for growth. We're looking for the ministry of grace in your hearts and in your lives, all through the giftedness of pastors, teachers, evangelists, as Paul mentions here in the book of Ephesians. So we asked ourselves this, is that just true for ministers? As in those in full-time ministry. And the answer to that, I think, is what? No, because all of God's people are servants. All of God's people are gifted. And all of God's people are to minister one to another. We just saw this here. Look at verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But unto every one of us, no exceptions, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, so we all have gifts, and we are to serve those gifts one to another in the ministry of the local New Testament church of which we belong to. So we ended up asking ourselves this question. This is how we concluded. In the year 2006, we could go back and already do that one, but 2016... how am I going to contribute to the watering and building up of this structure that we call Faith Memorial Baptist Church? Okay, that's what we call it. Now, who are the stones? Is it this wall here? It's not the wall, it's not the building, it's people, it's us, okay? How are we going to contribute? And I just want to say this, I'm not saying that we're not contributing. I think we're doing wonderful. But you know how Paul addresses that. Just like with the church at Philippi, you're doing wonderful, but see that you abound more and more in this thing. Okay, there's always more. Okay, because God is infinite in what he does. So how am I, you know, we have a New Year's resolution, whether you do it formally or informally, we all think about the new year. Okay, how am I going to contribute to the watering and the building up of this structure, this building, people that we call Faith Memorial Baptist Church? That's a valid question that every person who professes the name of Christ needs to answer. Now let me just say this. To say I'm not planning, that is not a New Testament answer. Why is that? Because every one of us is given gifts. And those gifts are for the building up of the church. Okay? That's why God gave you those gifts. They aren't for you. They're for you to give to others. Okay? So how are we going to do that? And then we ask this question. Not only, what am I going to contribute in 2016 to the building up of the structure that we call Faith Memorial Baptist Church, but am I really utilizing my giftedness to the utmost? And with what materials am I using my gifts with? So can we use our gifts in a carnal way? Yes, that's wood, hay, and stubble. Can we use our gifts in a spiritual way? Okay, that's called the wisdom of Christ. And I think it's wonderful, and this is just the way I think about things. Just, I think it's amazing that a human being, dust and ashes, a human being can be co-laboring with God to see supernatural, creative, and transformative work go on in the hearts and lives of other people. That's amazing. That I can actually go up, and Paul talks this way, and minister, serve the Holy Spirit to you. Now think about that. It's not that I'm not controlling the Holy Spirit, but I can serve the Holy Spirit to you. Okay. For instance, let's say you need mercy. Is there a gift of mercy? Okay. That means that there is natural mercy and then there's God's mercy. Okay. I can serve God's mercy to you. And some of you that have gifts of mercy are always doing that. Okay. You're always thinking that way. You know, if someone, you know, bruises their knee, you're thinking about, I'm going to bring them meals for the next month. You know, you're just oozing over, you know, where people have to say, hey, stop. You know, my refrigerator's full, my freezer's full, you know, stop. But isn't that a gift? Okay? And so someone that's got the gift of teaching, and you guys know this, I have the gift of teaching. People tell me I have the gift of teaching, so I suppose I have the gift of teaching. And Nick will say, he'll come in and say, Pastor, I got a question. It's a quick one. Okay, 30 minutes later, I'm still answering the question. Okay, and it might be some of the question, but it's probably me. Okay, I just like explode with teaching. Okay, and so we need teaching, don't we? Okay, so here are those gifts that I can minister to someone else and actually see a transformative work. And brethren, to think that we are going to stand before the eyes of our risen Savior and he is going to judge our work that has been done among God's people, especially within the context of the local New Testament church that they belong to. Not only is that amazing, but that is scary. Especially in light of America that has so marginalized the church today. And so we want to make sure that in 2016 that we are thinking, hey, I want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and I want to be a blessing to other people so that at the end of 2016, somebody in this church is going to think about me and think, boy, I grew because of my interaction with them. That'd be a gift, wouldn't it? Okay. Or maybe they shared something in their devotions and I didn't think about that and it really changed the course of my life. Or maybe you're talking to someone in the congregation and you've got a problem and you casually mention it and they give you the wisdom of Christ, the exact wisdom that you've been praying for because you didn't see it. They gave it to you. It was like a light bulb went off. Yes, I got it. Okay, isn't that a gift? Okay, that has gone on and will go on here. So we ask those questions this morning. Now, in order for us to do that, basically what we're doing is carrying out the Great Commission. Okay, now think about this. The Great Commission says we are to be making disciples of all nations. Okay, now that means that we go out and what do? We communicate to people, now think about this, exactly what's going on in your life. You go out and tell people, look, I was a rotten sinner. Christ showed mercy to me and did a recreated work in my life. He birthed a new nature in my life, and I was changed by his power. That's a great testimony, isn't it? Okay? And that can happen to you. Because, see, it happened in your life, and you want to see that happen in someone else's life. Or this, you meet a believer, okay, and they have been recreated, but maybe they're not, haven't been exposed to certain things, that certain types of teaching that you have. You want to see that Bible be communicated to them so that they'll be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. Why are you doing that? Because that's happening to you. It's exciting to see that grace functioning in your life initially, that grace functioning in your life on a week by week, day by day basis. You can actually look at somebody and say, the God of heaven and earth is paying attention to me and is doing a work of grace. I am his workmanship. That means the potter has you on a wheel. And he's making you what he wants you to be. Now, if you really think about that for a while, it will humble you. Okay? Because we don't deserve any of this. None of it. And you think about one of those works, look down in chapter 4, look as Paul says here in Ephesians. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. And the first attribute that we're to walk in, verse 2, is with all lowliness or with all what? Humility. Do you realize that one of the things our gracious God is going to do for you and for me is to humble us? Isn't that a blessing? Now think about this. Paul writes in Philippians, as touching the law, blameless. Then he says, I counted it all loss. And then he writes to Timothy, I am the chief of sinners. Now tell me, how far humble has he gone? As touching the law, blameless. Now, I'm the chief of sinners. Okay, and as that occurred, his vision and view and exaltation of Christ rose. Okay, and so here is this humility. Now let me just ask you, I know the answer is going to be yes, but since you got saved, has God humbled you any? I'm not asking if you're as humble as you need to be. I'm asking, has he humbled you any? And the answer to that is what? Absolutely. I still think of myself too highly as I ought. But compared to what I was on October the 4th, 1980, compared to October the 5th, 1980, when I got born again, it's like night and day. There's that humility that we're to walk in. And he says all lowliness, all humility. Look at verse 2 of chapter 4 again. And with all meekness. These are attitudes that we're to have. We're to have a humble spirit. In other words, we are to walk in humility and gentleness. Don't you like to be around gentle people? I mean, even if you're going to have, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, would you rather have it with someone who will listen to what you have to say and respond back in gentleness, even if they disagree? Or would you rather talk to somebody that when they disagree with you, starts pounding on the table and yelling at you? You would rather talk to someone that's approachable, wouldn't you? Okay? Brethren, if we're going to minister one to another, we're going to have to be approachable. We're going to have to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we're going to have to minister that one to another. This goes on within a spirit-filled local New Testament church to the place that, you know, I've been in situations where somebody new will come in and maybe they just got saved or whatever, but they'll come in and be a member, and then they start acting like they normally act, and we're so shocked. Like, it's like, whoa! You know, because they're responding kind of overbearing and forceful and kind of violent, and people are like, whoa! But you know what? It's not long before that spirit begins to work in their heart and life. Okay? And they see, you know, this isn't how things function in a local church. God begins to work in their heart and in their life. Then there's this attitude that we're to have, we're to minister in our relationship with one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, that's our attitude. And in my relationship with others within a local New Testament church, I am to have long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, we're all at different maturity levels, aren't we? And we all have, what's a good word here? We all have certain spiritual bruises. And if you get around that bruise, that person might not respond like Jesus would respond. Right? Okay? When that happens and someone responds that way, we have to bear under an unspiritual response. Right? Because what you don't want to do is what? You don't want to respond like they did to you. You want to bear under, you want to forbear, you want to self-restrain what you naturally would say and how you naturally would react and respond back to them in a cruciform, a cross-like type of what? Love. Okay. Now, sometimes you may have to be forceful. Jesus certainly was when he told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan," but he wasn't saying that every day that we're aware of. He was pretty patient, wasn't he? How much patience would you have if you were perfect and everybody else was not? Well, welcome to the local church, because most people think they're perfect and everyone else isn't. But the fact is we're all imperfect. Okay? And sometimes, you know, on a Sunday, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, whatever that means, and you come and you just assume be left alone, and somebody looks at you, and before long, you're fired up about something. and people might need to say, you know, they might need to say, whoa, we need to leave pastor alone today. You know, but we need to forbear one another, don't we? Okay. Now, if it goes on and this becomes a habit, then it might need to be addressed. Okay. But we're all sinful people. And we all have flesh upon us. We're to endeavor, verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Christ already is our peace. The unity of peace is already there in Christ Jesus. We need to guard and give diligence to maintain it. How do we maintain it? By walking according to the Spirit. Thinking God's thoughts after Him. And so we have all this that is going on here, and we have men and women that have been gifted to the local New Testament church so that that church may grow. Look at verse 13. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So let me just ask you this question. It is God's expectation that every one of us be mature in Christ. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Every one of us. Okay, and that's the goal of a church. Okay, if I could use a political cliche, no one left behind. Okay, that's what we want. Okay, if somebody's straggling behind, we want to go and bear them up. We want to help them go forward. Okay, and so every one of us is to come into the unity of the faith, because we all start out, verse 14, like children. Easily manipulated by the winds of culture and doctrine and false teaching. Okay, but we need to move into that maturity. And you know what? According to the book of Hebrews, that doesn't take 20 years. Okay, so whoever wrote Hebrews, he would say, you know, by now you ought to be teachers. Okay, this wasn't 20 years. Okay, this is probably, you know, 3 to 5, and you're not, if you give yourself to this, you're knocking on the door of maturity. You'll at least know the knowledge of Christ and how to, it takes a lifetime to live it out, but the knowledge that is there. And how do we do that? How do we minister one to another? Look at verse 15 of chapter 4. We are speaking the truth in love, so that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together and compacted by what every joint supplies. So again, how many people are serving in their gifts? Every one of us with that. And that will bring us to the place where we can see the growth of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, folks, that means that we need to be what the Lord designed for us to be. Right? What I just went through is what we need to be. Humble, amen. Forbearing, okay. Meek or gentle. Long-suffering, ministering to one another, okay? Those are things that we are to be. We are to be and have the Spirit of Christ in our life, or as someone prayed here earlier, this is what we are to be reflecting, what Jesus is. And it starts with this occurring in a church. So not only do we need to be what Christ designed for us to be, the church needs to be a church. Amen? The church is being a church. This is what we just read. Out of that will flow the relationships of life. Family, father, mother, child, employee, employer. It all begins where? Right here. That if we'll be a church and we'll commit ourselves to be what the Lord designed for us to be, then we will be a church that stands together and carries what we are out into a lost and dying world to minister that creative grace of God in each other and in other people's lives. It will just exude from you because that's who you are. Okay? And of course, the end of that is when a church really begins to be doing that, and you and I really begin to be doing that, Ephesians 6 says that we're going to have to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? Okay, because he's going to energize flesh and blood to try to stop this. Okay, but we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Amen? The principalities and powers. We know where it's coming from. Okay? So we've got to be a church first. We've got to be an individual member, being what Christ would have us to do. In the Great Commission, what is that? Observing everything that Jesus commanded us. Right? Okay. Then once that is occurring, I didn't say when it was complete. I said when we are becoming Christ-like in our walk, then we will be doing what the Lord designed for us to do. Do you follow that? Okay, some people think, well, I want to join a church because I want to serve God. Okay, well, God isn't served that way. He serves us by changing who we are, and then once we, as we are being changed, then we go out and see Him change others. It's all about Him. He doesn't need me. He uses me, and I'm thankful for that. But He doesn't need me. Okay? And Paul says that in the book of Acts. He said, God is not served with human hands. As though He needs anything. He doesn't need anything. We get everything from Him. Okay? That's exactly what we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 3. Remember? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the... So who gets the glory? God does. Okay? So we do then, becoming Christ-like, reflected in our walk, then we begin to do what the Lord has architect to be done. And that is, we communicate the word of His grace to those around us. We desire to see in others what Christ is doing in us. And that's our joy. Don't you get excited when you see the Lord do something in your life?
Yes. Yes.
And don't you wish that was like 24/7?
Yes.
Okay, well, when that is happening, now you want to see that happen in other people's lives. And I tell you what, there's there's no greater joy than to see a lost human being, dead in trespasses and sins, get born again. I mean genuinely born again. I don't mean they prayed a prayer. I mean born again. And the life of God is inside that clay vessel. I was walking around yesterday, may have been the day before. I've been in so many places, I can't remember. But I was walking around and I was looking at all the people. There was just tons of people. There was probably 500, 600. It was in some store somewhere. And I got to thinking, God wants every one of these clay vessels to have His glory in it. I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's why they're born. To be a vessel bearer of the glory of God. And then I got to thinking, I wonder how many of them know that. And sad to say,
probably not
many, if any. So we want to see that happen in other people's lives. Don't you love it when someone comes to Christ, they're born again, and then they start, you know, exhibiting those baby-like attributes. They want to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way a baby is, isn't it? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So if you say to them, you know, you led them to the Lord, or you were instrumental in leading them to the Lord, or maybe they got led to the Lord in the church or at the church service, They're going to have some kind of desire to come and hear. Why is that? They're hungry. Okay? If nothing's happened in their life, then why would they come and get more nothing? Okay, but if something has happened in their life, then their nature has been changed. And so isn't it a blessing to see that? Isn't it a blessing when they say, hey, when can I get baptized? Okay. And then we have the joy of bringing that portable baptistry out. It's a great, I really like that portable baptistry. Okay, we're just so close to the action, you know, with it. Okay, you have this portable, isn't that a joy? Or they come up to you and say, you know, what can I do? You know, I want to be a part of what's going on. And you say, well, you know, maybe you can help Alfreda, you know, clean the church or something. And they say, when can I do it? You know, they're not there like, when can I be in the pulpit? You know, they're excited about what's happening. Okay? That's a joy, isn't it? Then you see them grow. Because the first thing that happens is they get body slammed with a trial. And you don't know if they're going to make it. It's a test. Okay? And then you're able to minister to them and teach them things out of the Bible. And isn't it a joy when they start walking in that cruciform walk? Okay? And they learn those things. That's why we're here. Okay? So, becoming Christ-like and that being reflected in our walk, we end up doing what the Lord has architect for us to do, and that is to communicate the word of His grace to those that are around us. And churches do that. We do that individually. Right? And we do that corporately. You know, churches have this thing about wanting to start other churches. That's why we support missions. That's why Dr. Barry's over in Asia, because we want to develop men who are going to go out and build and start local New Testament churches. That's something we're interested in. We want to support men that the Lord is working in their lives like He's working in our lives. Something supernatural going on over there. And so we have that. So we got to be, and then we got to do. Okay? And so let me just give you some being things. I have three things down here as far as being. We need to exhibit Christ according to where we are. Are you at work? Are you to be humble at work, or are you just humble at church? Are you gentle at church, but you're not gentle at work? That's the way people are today. They compartmentalize their life. In church, I'm not a sinner, but everywhere else it's okay. New Testament doesn't talk like that. As an employee, or maybe you're an employer, or what about being a citizen? Is there any wisdom of Christ concerning being a citizen? Sure, both of heaven and of earthly governments. We saw in Ephesians, does he have any wisdom for fathers? Okay, does he have any wisdom for mothers, widows? Okay, does he have wisdom for children? Okay, and you notice that's all at the end of chapter 5 after he's gone through what's happening in the church as we are being in a church, as we're functioning in a church. Because as you function in here and learn to reflect Christ, you take that home with you. Secondly, we need to exhibit Christ according to our giftedness. We all have differing gifts. Some of you have such great giftedness, and when I think about your giftedness, it's just humbling how God has worked in and through your lives. Sometimes we look at other people's giftedness and we think, boy, I can never be like them. Well, neither could they. Christ had to do a work in their life. Can the God that created and recreated you, can He do something in your life that's creative? Amen. We need to exhibit Christ according to our maturity. And blessed is a church that has mature believers in it, that are being what Christ wants them to be and doing what Christ wants them to do. And you really want a church to have a good portion of their membership that way. You don't want, like, everybody mature and no babies. You don't have anybody to work with. Okay, but you want that maturity to be there. So as we think about 2016, and we think about our giftedness, okay, and whether you know what your gifts are or not, doesn't matter, but how are you going to contribute in 2016 to the building up of this local New Testament church? You do that, first of all, by being Christ-like. Okay, Paul says, this one thing I do. Right? Basically, he's saying, this one thing I do, I'm pursuing Christ-likeness. Okay? So we need to do that in 2016. And we need to really speed up our feet, don't we? Okay. Then we need to do. That is, we need to go out. I'm not big in setting numerical goals, but I've been thinking for about the last month and a half that I think that we as a church ought to try to really pray and ask God, Lord, give us 40. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Okay, now I'm talking about 40 and, you know, people coming in on Wednesday nights. I'm talking about 40 people. Okay, now don't die on us, because then we'll have to give one more. Okay, but, you know, that's not in my plans. Okay, so, but wouldn't it be a blessing? I mean, I think that's an attainable goal. Right? And if we get some families of 10, that really helps. Okay, so we want everybody. Okay, we want the aged, we want the young, we want millennials, we want boomers, we want everybody. Okay, we're not picky. You know why? New Testament isn't picky. It says sow the seed everywhere. Okay, you don't target an age group. You sow the seed everywhere. So how are we going to do that? I got a bunch of ideas down here, and according to your giftedness, you may think about one or more of these. Okay, here's one. We can communicate Christ to others by showing hospitality. Okay, and our church, by the way I look at it, we do wonderful among each other. But you know, there's also a lost world out there. And you know, when I go home, I like to kind of get in a little cocoon, you know. But I'm gonna have to break out at least once. Okay, that'd be a huge thing for me. Break out at least once in 2016. But some of you, you know, you're a lot more outgoing than that. Okay, think about doing what Matthew did. I mean, Matthew in the Bible. He invited people over to his house for the sole purpose of giving them the gospel. Okay, that's being hospitable, right? Okay, you don't have to trick them. You know, you say, hey, come over to my house for a meal, and then afterwards, you know, I want to share something out of the Bible. They don't want to come, say, okay, there's only a million more people out there. Okay, so we can do it by hospitality. We can do it, we can communicate Christ by Bible studies. Okay, you may want to start one at work. You know, I don't know if that's allowable anymore, but I remember when I was working, after I got saved, there was a Bible study there, and I went to it, and they had about 15 or 20 people at lunch come once a week. That's huge. Okay, I don't know if you'd start out with 20, but you could say, hey, you know, during our lunchtime, have a little Bible study. Okay, now, Nick, don't pick the Trinity. You know, pick something a little bit more simpler. But you can communicate Christ. Thirdly, we can communicate Christ by invitation. Okay? We can invite people to come to services. Okay, I don't know why this is in fundamental churches. It's like, we don't want to invite anybody until we have something special. I don't know why we do that. I do that. God's people do that. You say, okay, we're having a VBS. All right, we're going to invite people to the VBS. Well, what about the other services? You know, every Sunday is a special Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. So you can do it by invitation. Fourthly, you can do it by dining. And I mentioned a little bit of that with the hospitality. I was thinking more hospitality perhaps, you know, in taking things to other people, dining. You can bring people into your house. You can do that by interaction. That's mostly what we think, opening our mouths. And, you know, Ephesians 4 has a lot to say about our mouths. You can communicate Christ to others in how you respond to trial. Now, I don't think you ought to go around advertising that you're in trial. You know, you got a little label up here, I'm in trial. Okay, all that does is draw attention to you. Okay, but sometimes God will allow a difficult thing at work. I mean, really difficult. Because Christ wants everyone at work to see how you respond. You ever thought about that? And when you respond rightly, somebody's going to think, that's a little different. And when you're consistent that way, you just might end up with an opportunity to give the gospel. When I was working in down at Plant Vogtle in Savannah. I worked at a nuclear power plant that was under construction, and I was in the piping department there. People used to watch me all the time. And people would come up and say, you know, what happened to you? Okay, I was at another job, and I had a guy, and I was working in heating, ventilating, air conditioning, and I didn't know this, but he went around telling everybody that I was part of the God Squad, watch out. Well, you know what happened? I got to lead him to the Lord. And he became part of the God Squad. What happened? There's something different. They saw how you respond under trial. Folks, walking in the Spirit is huge. Okay? Now, just think about this. Here's Jesus on a cross. He's dying as a criminal, right? And what did that centurion say? Surely this is the Son of God. And I propose to you that, and I don't mean this funny, but I think Jesus responded Christ-like on the cross. And I'm assuming that that centurion came to know the Lord, or else he wouldn't have been put in there. I'm assuming that. I don't know that. So our response to trial. Another point. We can communicate Christ to others by literature. Okay, we have tracts. You can give them literature. You can buy them little books. You know, you can give them literature. Okay, now don't promote your celebrity preacher unless you just want them to float around apart from a local New Testament church. Okay, but give them a good book. Give them a reading plan. Okay, one of the things we did, my wife did, she packaged that. We give all of our children a book, and we all give them a reading plan every Christmas. Yeah, Bible reading plan. I don't know if they do it or not, okay? But it's there every Christmas, okay? And so that's literature, right? We can do that. We can communicate to Christ by bringing people to church. Some of you labor at that, and that is a gift. We can communicate to Christ by phone. And what I mean by that is one of these. Remember one of these? We used to use phones for phones. Okay. You can do it through the internet. You can do it through social media. Okay? You got all these avenues here. And we can communicate Christ to others by holding ourselves accountable, that when we're together, we're talking about Him. Okay, there's nothing wrong with mentioning it in a ball game, but don't let that be the majority of your conversation. Okay? We're here to talk about Christ. These are just areas in which we can do. We don't have to wait for, you know, a proper church program to be doing what we need to be doing as individual members of Christ. Okay, and those are some of the areas. You may not want to do all of them. You may think of some on your own, but I do know this. I do know that we need to contribute to the building up of Christ's church in 2016. Okay, we've been doing that, and I think we can do that more. You may want to take to you, hey, I like what Pastor said about 40. Okay, let's pray for that. Let's see, what can I do as an individual person to try to help that happen? Okay, you may want to do that. You may want to say, well, you know, I'll pray for the 40, but I'm not really big in the numbers in 40, but I'll show hospitality. I'll look around for opportunities for hospitality. Use your gifts. Amen? That's what I want to do. Paul says, major on your giftedness. And if you do that, remember what I told you, it takes a church to carry out the Great Commission. When our body is doing what we are, we'll see the Holy Spirit work in this year. And I'm looking forward to it myself. May Christ give us that grace. Let's pray together.